I like saying it's funny when I can't wait to see your bathroom.
Well,
I'm definitely not the only one. I find that humorous. I find a lot of things God does humorous. Because my God is an awesome God.
Amen. Yes.
And He can do what He wants to do.
Yes, Lord.
And He does what He wants to do.
Right.
And His plans are to further you and not to harm you.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing. And then He loved you when you were yet in rebellion with Him. When you said, I am a God hater, He still said, I'm a rock He loved.
Amen.
I still can't wrap my mind around how He loved me when I treated Him the way I did. I still can't wrap my mind around Christ on the cross for me. Maybe that's something I'm going to work on. Lovers of yourself. Okay. This is a sermon that been given a while ago, and it came back. And this morning, I ran into an ad. You know what an ad is? You ever get on the internet, and you're looking at YouTube or anything, and you go, for the next 5 seconds, for the next 15 seconds, you got to watch this part before you can get to this part you want to see. And part of the ad was the songs that the worship team was singing. The Great I Am. That's God's name. I Am. But there's part about it that gets me is when you talk about the Hebrew language and you talk about how the Hebrew... Oh, there's no children, right? Do what?
We're good.
We're good? I didn't think about dismissing children or our church or what. Anyway, God's name, I Am. Translates out, I Am. But it means more than that. When we translate out things from other languages, sometimes we miss a part. Because it means more than what it says. Sometimes there's several words that will translate out. My favorite thing is, in the English language, do you know there's a word called? Okay, somebody can say this for me. What do you call a little thingy that goes in the desk? Okay, y'all said that word. I have a hard time saying it. Yeah. When I say it, you'll understand. A drawer. Huh? I have an accent. It's very Texan and very country. But you have a drawer. What does that word mean? Really? How about a person on a piece of paper? What do you call that? Same word. What am I wearing under my pants?
Drawers.
By the way, same word, three words, same spelling. Content.
That's right. Oil and fire the same way.
Oil? Yeah.
No.
Sometimes. I try. I can't say myrrh. I can't say myrrh at all. You know, that's the thing you're looking for. The myrrh. But what I'm trying to get at is with God, His name is Yahweh. Yeah. And that means I am. But there's some connotations to that word that we don't get. It's I was, always. I am, and I will always be. And there's two ways of saying I am in Hebrew. Right, Buck? One is just the here I am. The other one is God. I'm bringing this up because there's other words in Hebrew that have that multiple meaning. Or there's multiple words. How many ways can you say, well, I do know this. There's two here I am's in Hebrew, right? There's the Nene, and then there's another one. It's Jewish? Or how do you say you pronounce it? Okay. And the second one is, here I am. Like if you say, here I am on the in the church, it'd be the second one. And it would mean I'm physically at a location. Here I am. A name means something more. It has some connotations to it. Matter of fact, if y'all turn to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, you're going to catch up to Hanani. 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 That's how it's spelled. Hanani.
That's
close.
See what? That's why I don't want
it. Yeah, that's close. Matter of fact, when I look at it, there's about 15 different ways they spell Hanani. But this one's close. And it's a transliteration. You know what transliteration means? It means I'm using Arabic symbols on a Hebrew word. We use Arabic symbols. The H and all that. Really, they're Phoenician, but anyway. That's an A name. And it's, here I am. And I want y'all to look at a couple of things. One of the things is, I'm looking at the lives of three people. And I want to use those three people to explain to you a certain thing. What does it mean? What can we learn? We got three men. You got Samuel, you got David, and you got Paul. What were these three men? Men of God, servants. Men that God had called out. All three of these were men God had called out. What's that got to do with you? Oh, I are one. We're just like these three people here. You've been called out. I tell a story about a guy from South Africa. I've met this gentleman. He's a very interesting guy. One of the things that got me was when I first met him, he was talking about evangelism. He came to the school I was at. I was learning about evangelism at the time, and he came to the school I was at. It's a little bitty college. And he gave us, we used to have chapel every once a month. We would have chapel. And he came for chapel. And he was an amazing guy. And after chapel, he gave a little speech. He's talking about evangelism. And we were studying evangelism, so we stayed and listened. And he said something that I thought was funny. But when you listen to what he said, it turned not so funny. And what it was it's not, when you evangelize, it's not what you know. Did y'all know that? When you evangelize, when you go out and defend the Bible, when you go out and talk to people about Christ, when you go out and do stuff, it's not what you know. Did you know that?
No.
You don't have to be a Bible scholar to evangelize.
For it to be revealed.
Huh? For it to be revealed. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. It's not what you know. He says it's who you know. It's who you know. He will give you the word. And he broke it down and said, when we think who you know, we usually think, oh, it's a circle of friends and stuff. He goes, it is your circle of friends. And he kept trying to narrow it down so us few college students could start to wrap our mind around. It wasn't what we were learning in school. It was who we knew. It's, did you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you know Jesus Christ, you can go out and evangelize. Now, he tells the story that he was asleep one night and he got a word from God while he was asleep. God came to him and said, hey, I want you to go out and start evangelizing. And in South Africa, they got these big, huge soccer stadiums. And he said, what I want you to do is go rent a soccer stadium and pack it out. I want you to do like Billy Graham. I want you to do, what's that? Harvest America. I want you to do like Harvest America. Greg Laurie. But I want you to do it here in South Africa. I want you to start doing it because South Africa's falling apart. And I want you to start packing out these soccer stadiums. And he said, while he was talking to God, he told God, God, I don't think you understand. I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about evangelism, and I think I got a great track I can write for you. I got this track. Y'all know what a track is, right? So I can write this track, and we'll put that out, and that'll do everything you're asking. God said, did I come to you and ask you about a track? I came to you and asked you to fill this stadium. And the guy goes, I told the Lord, I don't talk that well. I'm not that eloquent. I don't know the Bible that great. I can do your track, but evangelism, Billy Graham, that's not me. What did you call somebody qualified? God told him, I did call them qualified. They said no. Are you going to tell me no? Now, when he came to us, he had filled like 30 or 40 of these stadiums. He filled one, and then filled another one, and then filled another one, filled another one, and it was growing. And I wish I could say that South Africa got better. The only thing I can tell you, though, is he made an impact on the ones that went to those. That's the way it works on Starfish at a time. He was called, and he had a choice. Interesting guy. Like I said, he was a funny guy. He had our attention, I'll say that. And one of the things about it that struck me at the time was, here I am, a Baptist, and I'm talking to a guy that said he was talking to God. Did you catch that? He didn't say, I dreamed about talking to God. He said, I was talking to God. And then he did something I didn't think I'd ever have the courage to do. He told God what to do. After thinking about that, I realized I do that all the time. You know, I'm sitting here, and when he said he told God, that's not me, God, that's somebody else. You know, I need to do this. I thought, how can you be so bold to do that to God? Then I realized, don't I do that every day? Do this, God. Do that, God. Don't I got our roles reversed? Isn't that what my prayers are all about? Me telling God what to do?
Say please, Lord.
You know, I hope I have enough sense to say please, God, first. I'm saying I do. I said, I hope I do. You know that 1 Samuel, though, chapter 3, and it talks about something. It says, the boy Samuel arrived, served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophet visions were not widespread. One day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his room before the lamp of the God had gone out. Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord when the ark of the God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. That wasn't the Hanane. That was the, I'm in this room. He ran out, Eli, and said, here I am, call me. By the way, I don't read so good. You got it? Yeah.
See, you went to rational verse of passage of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to start here in verse number 4.
Now read the 30, or read the 10.
Okay. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, the word of the Lord. Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So he told Samuel, "Go by him. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10?
Yeah, keep going to verse 10.
Verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from the beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering."
That's good. That second time when he said, "I'm listening," there again he said, "Here I am." Are we losing the battery on this? Okay. I just talked loud. That second time, it's the same thing. "Here I am." Only this time he's saying, "Hanene." That's why it translates out a little differently. That's why I say, "I'm listening." Because that's kind of one of the connotations of Hanene. Hanene means "here I am" with an emphasis on becoming. You know what that means? I'm here and I'm going to follow what you tell me. I'm here and I'm going to do what you say. I'm here and I'm now following through with what you're asking. Those are the connotations of "here I am." So when Samuel says, "I'm listening," he really just said, "Here I am." But he did it with an expectation of, okay, here I am. I'm your guy. Matter of fact, when you find out that Hanene, we're also talking about when Abraham finally did what God asked him to do. He said, "Here I am." When Abraham was told to go sacrifice Isaac, his response was, "Here I am. I'm going to do it." When Moses approached the burning bush, his response was, "Here I am. I'm here to listen. I'm here to do your will." Now my question comes up is, how many of us are like Samuel? How many of us, hear the word of the Lord, how many of us are called by the Lord? And we're going, "Huh?" I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that said, "You know, the Lord just don't talk to me." I say, "Yeah, he does. You just don't listen." Ooh, that's a mean thing to say. But that's what happens. We've hardened our hearts to not listen to what he has to say. We've hardened our hearts to say, "That's not what I want to do. Because if I listen to what you tell me, you're going to tell me to do something I don't want. I don't want to do that." So, what? You talking to me? Y'all ever seen that commercial or seen the Taxi Driver? I'm not asking you to watch the movie Taxi Driver. There's no reason to do that. But there's a scene in it that's pretty famous. It's, "Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?" He's practicing saying it. "Are you talking to me?" He rehearsed in the mirror. How many of us have done rehearsed in the mirror when God calls your name? "Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?" Yeah, I am. Been talking to you for a while now. You just don't want to listen. We are called. We are called. You know, one of the crazy things in life, one of the insane things in life, how many of y'all got a job? Yeah. How many of you know you followed that giant? Oh, oh. You know, some people didn't raise their hands. I think they should have. Guess what? I'm called to a job. I teach schools. Is that a job or is that a calling? It's a calling. I don't like it.
It's a labor of love.
It is a labor of love. Do you know whose labor of love it is?
Yours and
God's. He loves me so much, he puts me in a position where I have to learn it. Did I say earn it? Or did I say learn it? Learn it.
He's a gifted teacher.
He is a gifted teacher. He's an
God
is a gifted teacher. God is a gifted lover. God is someone that cares so much for me that he'll put me through hardship. And I'll say, why would you do that to me? Because I love you. Why would you do that to me? Because I truly love you. When we're called, do we go, here I am? Or do we go, and I am? Or do we just go, are you talking to me? God calls us out to do things. Yeah, he's talking to us. He calls us. It took Samuel how many times? Four? Three times where he's going, what? Who's talking to me? Well, that was Eli who was the priest. But you know what? One of the things about Eli was, or Samuel, when Samuel's mom was not having a kid, she said, give me a kid and I'll give you back.
Right.
Okay, here's my thing. How many of y'all have parents that probably do the same thing and you don't even know it? How many of you parents told God, if you give me a healthy child, he's yours or she's yours, or the child is yours, and you don't even think about it? How many times have you made promises to God? God, if you take care of me this time, I'm yours forever. Oh, you took care of me. Let's see. Forever didn't last very long, does it? It's till I decide I can do it on my own. I got this, Lord. I don't need you no more. We're called. We are called. Do we hear the call? Do we answer the call? Now, one of the things about it is, I can say everybody in this room is called to do something. Used to be a gentleman that went to this church and he said, you know what? He was quite older or quite elderly. He had lost his ability to breathe, so he had an oxygen tank. He couldn't go out and evangelize, could he? Man, that guy evangelized everywhere he went. He said, Walmart telling people, how's your church? You go to church? Oh, how's it working for you? If it's not working too good, I got a church you can go to. I seen him in a hospital where they were working on him because he couldn't breathe. And he's talking to the nurse and goes, so, when do you go to church? You're a Buddhist, huh? Well, they don't work out for you. I got a church for you. How many of you would be bold enough to tell a Buddhist, if that's not working out for you, I got a church for you?
Amen.
He would have the nurses pray for him, or pray with him, or he would pray for the nurses. How many people do you know of are in a hospital that they're looking at him dying and he's praying for the nurses? I've known two gentlemen do that.
Amen.
I've known two do it. Both of them were members of my church, so that should make me really proud.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Both of them were amazing men that held me accountable. I should be proud to know them. We have been called, and we answered it. And did we answer it with, yeah, I'm there for you, God? Or did we say, Hanane, what you got? that I'm all in. Y'all ever play poker? You're Baptist, you're not supposed to play cards. So, have y'all ever played 42? It's okay to play dominoes. Well, I was fixing to ask the other thing. If you play poker, have you ever gone all in?
I don't.
Well, guess what? You're going to have to go all in. All in.
All in spirits. I'm all
in. Who knows? Maybe that too. I don't know.
Maybe that too. Maybe that too. He definitely called you to do that.
He may. He may call you. You may look at your bank account and think, wow, I've already been all in. We can. Let's stay in 1 Samuel. Let's go to 5 Samuel 17. I want y'all to understand, we got four pastors here. I wonder if y'all knew that. Y'all know this story, right? Y'all ever heard this one? Story of David and Goliath? Have y'all heard this? How many of y'all know this story? By the way, this is a whole sermon unto itself. What David said was overheard. He comes into camp to talk to his brothers, and they're giving him a hard time. He said, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to do something else. And he said, why doesn't somebody go take care of Goliath? What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. So he had David brought before him. David said to Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. You know what he means by your servant?
Me.
Me. I. This guy's standing here. I'll go take on that guy. Okay. David's a shepherd, right? Y'all know that. And he's the youngest son of Jesse. Y'all know that. Y'all also know the rest of the story, right? Goliath's this big guy. He's really huge. He's been standing there in front of the army taunting them for several days. Nobody's encouraged enough to go talk to him. But Saul replied, you can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth. And he's been a warrior since he was young. David answered Saul, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came, carried off a lamb of the flock, I went after him. Struck it down and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed. What's that word? Always, when I read this years ago, I thought it said a lion. By the way, it's plural. I have killed lions. That's more than one. And bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Y'all ever thought about that one? He didn't kill just one lion and one bear. He killed multiple ones. And the thing that gets me is what he said. When a bear would rear up, I just whoop it. He got Davy Crockett beat, don't he? Because Davy Crockett had to have a knife.
But he was only three.
Okay. Well, how old is David? He's still a youth here. He's still a youth. He goes, you know, I just grab it, rip it up, whip it by his fur, run it around. Man, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he is defied. Gotta go to the next one now. Armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paws of the lion and of the paws of the bear, and will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said, okay, go and may the Lord be with you. You want to start at 38?
Verse 38?
Yeah, and read to 40.
So, 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel 17.
Verse 30?
Yeah. Read down to verse 30.
Where do I start again?
38. Read to 40. Yeah. I have a problem like Paul has.
Okay. Okay, then beginning in verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to it. I cannot go with these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine.
That's part of it. I want y'all to catch something here. How many of y'all, or how many people in this room, have looked at this passage and said, David didn't wear the clothes because they were too big? Okay, I just want y'all to catch that. Growing up, I was taught David didn't wear the clothes because they were too big. What's it say? Doesn't say they were too big. Doesn't say it didn't fit him. Said he wasn't used to it. We have 4 pastors here. How many of them wore my clothes when they come up here and preach? Now, in this case, there would be it doesn't fit. I almost want to see Richard wear my pants. That would be humorous. But I want y'all to understand something. That would be funny, wouldn't it? I'd have that awful big pair of pants. It's not that the pants don't fit. Y'all understand? When I speak with my past experiences. I speak with what the Lord gives, but my slant is through my past experiences. When Richard speaks, he doesn't use my past experiences because they're unfamiliar to him. He uses his past experiences. And here's the bigger part about it. I want y'all to catch this. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's perfect. It's not the same with Richard has. And I don't doubt that he has one, but it's not mine. So when he speaks to that relationship that he has with Christ and what Christ did in his life and how Christ molded him. Rafi, when he speaks through the eyes of Rafi. Now, one of the crazy things is, I will say this, we sound a lot alike at times. You know why? The Spirit. We sound a lot alike at times. And there's usually a thread that goes through what we say. But that's because we're all free to hold out to God. And God uses us to talk. But we still have some differences. Rafi talks from his differences and his relationship to God and what God did for him. But does the same thing. Same thing. Donnie, same thing. Lonnie, same thing. I don't expect people to know what I know and say the things I say. But you know what you know. And your relationship with God is as crystal clear to you as mine is with me. I want y'all to catch that. Don't walk in my unfamiliar clothes. Anybody see I'm wearing cowboy boots right now? Don't walk a mile in my boots. It might hurt your feet. I got little feet. They might pinch. Walk in your own shoes. Kurt knows what Kurt knows. He's lived that life. He's had that relationship with Jesus. He knows what Jesus saved him from. When he is talking about his life, and he is talking about his experience, and he is talking about his relationship with God, he is passionate. Because he knows of what he's doing. And he knows what he owes. One of the worst things about this is, as a human, I want to do this because I owe. I owe, therefore I go.
I heard that
last. Yeah, before I go. The only thing about it is, God doesn't count.
That's right.
I even got the babes telling me. Out of the mouths of babes. God did this for love for me, and all He expects out of me is love for Him. I've got one last guy I want to talk about. I just thought I'd bring up David because I want y'all to understand. When I ask that you're called, and I say you have a calling, your calling is not my calling. Your calling is your calling. Oh, cool. All I have to do is stand here and it'll talk. Your calling is what God has put on you. You have a personal relationship with God. That's your calling. God will ask you to do what you can do. One of the things that I love hearing is a statement that goes, God calls the qualified. But when they don't answer, what does He do? Qualifies the call. I'm not the same person I was when I started preaching as I am today. Who was here when I... Is anybody here back at the very start? Yeah, I got one at least that can remember what it was like. Did I ever leave the podium? Are the fingerprints on the podium?
Still are.
Yeah, you can go back to that wooden podium and see the fingerprints. You know what one of the hardest things I ever found out was? And this makes no sense to me. Are you ready for this? It's the hardest thing a preacher has to learn. How to give a 30-minute sermon. You know, you would think, I got 30 minutes, man. I'll say everything I know in 30 minutes. I'll do it in 15. We'll be out early. We'll be able to beat the Methodist to Diddy's. Yeah. Well, it's not that. God, Richard, how much does God download to you when you get a sermon? So much that you just don't know how you're going to get it all in, do you? Of course, one of the craziest things about it, Rafi, how much does He download to you? Do you know what it's about, though? I cannot handle it. He downloads so much, it's like sitting there drinking water out of fire. You open it up. Ah! Wow. The worst thing about it is it took me a long time to realize, oh, that wasn't for y'all, that was for me. I got to shave it down for what y'all need. Last one I'm not going to go into the scripture about because hopefully you know the story. There's a gentleman that was living in Jerusalem and he was going to Damascus because he was a very religious man. Did y'all know that? Extremely religious. Righteous. He had righteousness in his right hand and religion in his left hand. And he knew exactly what he wanted to do. And he left Damascus, or left Jerusalem for Damascus. And you know what he ran into? Love. We can be called, and we can work on what we know. But one thing I'm going to tell you, if you're using religion instead of relationship, you're going to be solid and not fall. Relationship brings love. Religion brings judgment. As a kid growing up, I was a Baptist. We are very righteous. Did you know that? Very religious. I was very religious and very righteous. And everybody was going to hell, but a few Baptists, but not all. You know, only the Baptists. Have you ever heard that joke? Only the Baptists are going to heaven. Everybody else is going to hell. And I'm not for sure about half the baggage. Yeah. I ain't for sure about half that, right? That's religion. Relationship is love. And love tells you this. If my brother sins, do I cry? Yeah. I don't want any to go to hell. It's what we all deserve, but I don't want any to go to hell. How righteous can I be? My only righteousness is what? Jesus Christ, the cross behind me. It's empty. My righteousness is the cross behind me. It's based on the cross behind me, too. Saul, very religious man, knew what his duty was to stamp out heresies, kill them all. His statement was, kill them all if God sort of meant. Paul had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that not weird? Love until salvation. If you spit on me, what should I do? It's not even turn the other cheek. But that way I get to wipe the spit off on you. You ever thought about it that way? No. I'm a sick individual. No. Raphael showed a movie not long ago. And that was the story of Bob. And he was in his second captivity. He's about to get his head off. We are in the reign of Nero and what he was doing to the Christians. And the Christians were back and forth on how to handle that. Should we arm up and go defend ourselves? Should we strike back as we were struck? His answer was, if we strike back, we're no better than them. We have to show them love. In the movie, I don't say this happened, but in the movie, Luke, who is a physician, is sent to the arena to be killed. And if you watch the movie, you realize why he went to the arena to be killed. Because he was to give heart to the ones that were there that were about to be killed. And the guy that sent him to kill him, his daughter's sick to dying, and nothing nobody can do to save her. And Paul is talking to the prison commander, and he tells him, hey, you can bring Luke back, he'll save her. So the prison commander loses it. He goes, okay, he brings Luke back. Now, here Luke has seen the condition of Romans 3. How could you take care of this dog? This is the guy that was trying to kill you. How could you? See, this is the bad part. But Jesus would not only do it, he would ask us to do it. And that's the point, by the way, that is the point. The point is, how do we harden or soften a hard heart? It's only from God. So that's the worship team comes up and the pastors come up. The questions I've got for you are threefold. And I'll start backwards. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or are you living on religion? Do you have a relationship? Or are you living on religion? Because if you're living on religion, I'll guarantee you this. I used to teach religion in school. And I had several kids ask me, are you religious? And when I answered them, I used to be, but not now, it confused them. They said, I thought you were a Christian. I said, to be a Christian is to lose religion.
Amen.
And get a relationship. To become a Christian, I have to give up my religion. So are you living with a relationship?